The grace, mercy, and peace of God, our Heavenly Father, which is ours once again here this morning by way of His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is really our gospel reading, sharing with you again, once again, the opening verses, where we read that Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came and was crying out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." This is our text. Dear Christian friends, we have before us this morning another story. If you were here last week, as I was, the story last week was about Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. And as that story was demonstrating to us something about the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would suggest to you that this story also has a similar emphasis or reason for being included in part of our reading to help again underscore who this Jesus really is. Now he's in a different place with a different group of people, but nonetheless can continue to see that this is Jesus, the very Son of God. And so as we look at this story of this Canaanite woman, I suggest that you would also keep in mind that this story has an overarching kind of prayer component and lesson for us as well this morning. In fact, that's what I'm going to be talking about with you, those of you who attend the adult Bible class, the whole idea of prayer as we know it as God's people. So in this Holy Gospel, we encounter something that is kind of challenging, I believe, for most of us in our culture. In a very few short verses, there are all sorts of kind of twists and turns that take place. For at first, Jesus seems to act very much out of character, because as this woman comes to him, it seems to us that he really just goes ahead and ignores her and the need that she has presented. Then he appears to go even further and insult her. Nevertheless, she keeps on coming to Jesus in spite of what seems to be going on. Now, this kind of behavior is somewhat maybe disturbing to our sensibilities. We would rather, of course, always have our Lord Jesus Christ be very nice, always nice to all people. And yet we read in other places in Scripture where he has called some people a brood of vipers, sons of Satan. In fact, he called one of his own disciples, who happened to be Peter, Satan, when he said, "Get behind me, Satan." These are not the kind of nice names that we normally associate with our Lord. And yet, because we know and believe that Christ is without sin, we conclude that these expressions are meant for the good of these individuals as well as for us. For this woman, it may have been that he wanted to test her faith, or that he wanted to display her faith as a great witness to those there that same day. The truth is that we really cannot know for certain the thoughts that God had in dealing with them and dealing with this woman or dealing with us as well. But we do know that he is always loving towards us as he has been to all of creation. Despite that, our eyes or our experience may tell us, indeed, he may sometimes show us what seems to be kind of an unfriendly face when he allows us too to encounter some of the hardship, some of the pain that we do experience in this life. And I believe we see that truth to be evident also in the story that we have before us here this morning. First, a little context. We are told that Jesus left the area in which he and his disciples had been, and they headed north over the border of Galilee into the Gentile countryside near the Mediterranean sea towns of Tyre and Sidon. Obviously, when you enter or go into a Gentile area, you would expect to encounter Gentile people. And sure enough, here comes this Canaanite woman approaching Jesus for help. Now, although she was a Canaanite, her cry for mercy is that her daughter was severely oppressed with a demon is quite a witness to her when she says to him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." Her words, interesting enough, are words that we will and do use this very morning, because they are words that the church has adopted as the Kyrie. the church has taken over this prayer to greet our King Jesus in the church service on a regular basis. These words show that this woman recognized Jesus as royalty, who had the power and authority to help her in the time of need. Here again is this point where she even recognizes this Jesus to be the very Son of God. The same emphasis that we have seen in earlier stories here during this Lenten season. Now, central to this event, when we hear her praise Jesus, this Canaanite woman, who seems to be one that you would not expect this to come from someone like her, definitely demonstrates that she had great faith. And we might think about that for a moment this morning and say, that's something that we want as well. I think we would agree that we too would like to be praised in our life for having great faith. Yes, I believe we want to have great faith, and rightly so. We may desire to have a stronger faith because we know oftentimes when we face the difficult issues and times in our life that we can stumble or sometimes maybe lose sight of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and our faith seems to be weak or falters in weakness. Therefore, we want a greater faith that will not cause us to so easily stumble in life and the challenges that we too face. And this is a good thing for us to want, although sometimes our thinking about it may be a little off-center as why exactly do we need it? Having a great faith, it does not mean that we will sail through life effortlessly, or that troubles will not be part of our life and our experience, even on a daily basis. For we are reminded in this season of our Lord's Passion, this season of Lent, that Christ, who had, of course, the strongest faith of any man, he sweat like drops of blood in the ferocious intensity of his emotional turmoil prior to his arrest and his crucifixion. So if he suffered this way, we also may well experience suffering as well in our daily life. I think we would be agree that this woman indeed was dealing with a lot of tribulation in her life. Her daughter apparently was severely afflicted by a demon. And yet when she heard that the Lord Jesus had come into her part of the country, into her region of the Gentiles, she seized upon this opportunity and went swiftly, quickly apparently, to meet her Lord. Now this woman was a Gentile, and not only was she a Gentile, but she was a Canaanite. This is an ancient people who had been under God's curse, really to be wiped out by the command that he had given to the Israelites as they were coming into the promised land. These were people who were being rejected even by God as his chosen people were settling into the promised land. But now after she confessed her faith and by calling on Jesus as her Lord, she stated to him also her problem. My daughter is severely oppressed, she said, by a demon. She simply stated this concern to Jesus. She doesn't tell him what to do about it. Instead, she undoubtedly trusted Jesus to come up with whatever solution was best for her daughter and for her. She apparently knew of the promises that had been made in God's word. She knew that this son of David was coming and who would be the one who could indeed help the poor and the afflicted. And so she fixed her eyes, she fixed her faith on Christ, who she believed was indeed the very Son of David, the very Son of God. So here again for us is a lesson, I believe, that we would take home with us this morning. A lesson that may our eyes of faith always be fixed on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, that too is what we are called upon to do. Now, it is reasonable to believe that there were times of doubt that plagued this woman as well. Great faith does not necessarily mean that there are not times of weakness in her life or ours. She could have reasoned that she was not one of the chosen people, so why should Jesus even listen to her, even pay any attention to her coming to him? The only thing is that this woman would not give up. Her persistence even started to get on the disciples' nerves. For we read that they also, in a way, began to pray and address Jesus about this situation, Now, their prayers were undoubtedly kind of self-centered and selfish when they said, give this woman what she wants so that she will go away and stop bothering us. But here, I believe, is a lesson again for us, maybe lesson number two for us this morning. If there were doubts, she did not allow those doubts to keep her away from coming to Jesus. She came where he was and cried out. And in the Greek, that particular word that is used there means that she really was shouting. She was shouting at him repeatedly, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. And so here she recognized that this one, this Son of David, was the God of Israel in human flesh. And great faith indeed is expressed here and is shown here by this woman. And so may we also recognize that in this very house where we are gathered once again this morning is also our Lord and Savior coming to meet us, to be with us as his people, who is ready to hear us and be with us even as we shout out our words of praise and adoration in song and in prayer. And so may we never allow our doubts to keep us from calling out to our Lord and Savior in our daily prayer life, or keep us from gathering here again and again as his church. And so this woman's faith clung, if you will, to Christ, even when he seemed to maybe be pushing her away. She called him Lord and Master and looked to him for mercy no matter what. And so here's another lesson, I believe, for us this morning. Maybe it's number three, if you will. May we also have that no matter what kind of faith, especially when it seems that our Lord may be at times treating us rather coldly. Maybe we may not be always receiving what we've been asking for or praying for when we want it, and yet we know that he continues to be merciful to us. Yes, when it seems he may, may be pushing us away, may we cling to him all the more tightly. This Canaanite woman has given us a most beautiful way to begin any time of prayer in our life, and especially, of course, in our time of need. One more lesson here for us. This kind of faith does not come except by way of the work of the Holy Spirit and God's Word. It is not something we create, not something we can develop. It's the work of God and His Spirit through Word and Sacrament. This Canaanite woman could not have had this great faith without having heard the Word of God. And so she received that word and believed that word. And through the work of the Holy Spirit moved her to see this one, this Jesus, as the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. And so we too are strengthened in our faith through that same word that we hear here this morning or read privately or in family devotions. It is that same spirit that also causes us to accept the Master's rebukes when they may come to our life. Yes, Lord, I too am a dog in your sight, and even worse, because of my sin. Because of my sin, I too am unclean in your sight, O Lord, not worthy of the least of your blessings. But I too, as this woman, beg that you would let the crumbs from the Master's table come to me. The reality is that our pride does not always want us to think or speak that way. We want to maintain some kind of dignity in our life. And so another lesson for us may be that the Lord, the Son of David, would crush that prideful spirit in us. For we know that a broken and contrite heart our Savior does not despise. He does not turn away from those who humble themselves in his presence. And now we hear Jesus' answer to this woman. Listen carefully. O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly, we are told. And here we see that this whole exercise, in some ways, had been to draw a contrast between the faith of this woman who admitted that she was a sinful dog. She acknowledged that. She accepted that when Jesus said that of her. But to contrast that to the unbelief of those who think they were so righteous in God's sight on their own. And so in this gospel account, we see that it is those who admit that they are offensive before God. It is those who confess that they are poor, miserable sinners. It is those who find the love of God to be a great and beautiful and precious gift. It is those who confess that they do not love their neighbors always as themselves. Yes, it is those who receive that healing forgiveness that the Lord earned for them and earned for us once again. With his holy life, with his innocent suffering and death on the cross, and of course with his victorious resurrection as we celebrate on Easter. And so to the broken, to the miserable, he is merciful. When we bring our troubles to him, he never ignores us. He listens carefully according to his plan, his purpose, his timing. He sends help. When we bring our children to him, who we know also are afflicted with sin, he washes them. He washes them with the powerful waters of baptism. And when we bring our sins to him, as we did this morning in our confession, he mercifully speaks to us his forgiveness. Praise God for such a blessing. We who were once not his people, hear me now, we are now his people. We who were once under that curse are now the blessed children of his house here. And so even in this place, we receive the crumbs of his incredible treasures of grace. But he gives us not only the crumbs, but also invites us again this morning to his very table, where we will receive the very body and blood of the Son of David. Yes, in his name, the merciful one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, our Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite